We have sang about God's good news and what He has waiting for us. Prayerfully, we are all looking forward, preparing for a glorious welcome from our Heavenly Father. Because those who are not over there cannot and will not be happy. There will be pain, suffering, and no doubt, a very noisy place. We have had the glorious privilege of hearing the Word of God, believing it, receiving, and obeying it, by being added to its family, buried in water baptism. Now that we have been added to the body, He expects us to continue to believe in Him, receive His instructions, and to obey the same without excuse. We're glad that God has watched over us. It is not we and in and of ourselves that we are yet on planet Earth enjoying a reasonably good share of health and strength, physically and spiritually, prayerfully. And we have had the presence of mind to come together on this, the first day of the week, to worship that God who has done so much and is continuing to do on our behalf. Let us not disappoint Him. We have some good song leaders here, don't we? And since we have some good song leaders, by the grace of God, we can sing good. And I believe that God is well pleased with what He hears from this here congregation. And we thank Him for the leaders that lead us in our singing. I think we have a history of loving to sing. Did you get that message? I think we have. All right. If you were asleep, don't worry about it. This morning, there's a book in your Bible called Leviticus. It's in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 6. Verses 8 through 13. We thank God for the preacher that preached for us on last week. He did a wonderful job, and we had glorious fellowship also with he and his wife here. She didn't preach, just he did. I talked with them after they had left, and they had traveled safely. Continue to pray for them. And they will continue to pray for us. Leviticus chapter 6. Commencing with verse number 8. Through 13. Footnote ahead of time. We have some good song leaders, don't we? Did I say that earlier? Amen. Thank God for you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burned. Are you there? The fire on the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar. He shall put them beside the altar, and he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire, note carefully verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. Notice carefully verse 13. The fire that we've just read about on the offering, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. I pause that you'll notice the last five words. It shall never go out. The fire on the altar shall never go out. You excited about being a child of God when you're brought into the body? That excitement shall never wander, go out. Oh, church. Yes, I seem like I heard this before. You may have. There's a reason for it coming back. The food is mixed. Then it's put in the fire. Just because it's mixed, you put all the ingredients in it, there must be an execution of being in the fire. Oh, yes, you must have some fire, because what has been cooked must be baked at a certain heat for a certain time. That's what God is saying about the offering to him. God has given us a book. His infallible, undeniable word. He has also given us men to teach and preach his word. He has placed members in the body. God has placed members in the body as he sees fit, as it pleases him. He has given everyone a gift. He wants everybody that's a child of his to do something favorable and complimentary to his church. We have it all together, I believe. The infallible word of God. Men are preaching God's word here, there, and yon. And we had a glorious time on last week. We have gifted men placed in the body as it pleases our Heavenly Father. We come together to worship him in spirit and in truth. Some come to Bible classes. Did you get that? That first word? Some come to Bible classes. We've got it all by the grace of God. Teaching what thus saith the Word of God, without addition or subtraction. Since we have it all that information, the question might come up, why aren't we having revival? What's the problem? Well, it is not enough just to sound right and to follow the manual precisely. There is an ingredient that others cannot give us individually. There is an ingredient that others cannot give you that all of our reorganizing can give you. Only God, only our Heavenly Father can give us that ingredient. We desperately need, you may be already able to guess it from what we've read over here, we desperately need the fire. People are dying every day all around us. We read about the tragedy at the high school, I believe in St. Petersburg, Florida. We have the letter of the law. No question about that. But the question is, where is the spirit? Where's the fire? In our reading this morning, the fire must never do what? Fire must never go out. We desperately need the fire. And there is the old story that I told you about the family reunion. And the older father went out at night and he fell. Fell in a puddle of water. You know the story, don't you? You forgot already? And when he fell in the water and couldn't get up, he started yelling, "Fire! Fire!" Now that was smart. That was very smart of him. Because when his family heard him hollering, "Fire, fire," they ran to where the sound was coming from. Because the more he tried to get up, the deeper he sunk. So he was just yelling and yelling and yelling. Family members started thinking after they ran to him and pulled him out of the mud, they thought he was going into his last. And also at the same time, they thought he might be losing a little bit upstairs. You'll get that maybe about midnight. So one of the members of the family asked him, "You were falling in the water, and you're yelling fire. Why were you yelling fire in the mud?" You know the answer, don't you? You know the answer, don't you? Don't you know the answer over here? You're looking at me strange. You're looking at me. You know the answer over here? Yeah, they're smiling here. They know the answer. You know the answer over here? Mm-hmm. Why did you yell fire when you were in the mud? The great uncle replied, he said, "Listen, if I'd been down here in the dark yelling mud, 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 people will not come. But you yell, fire, fire, everybody will start running." Smart fellow. Moses, in our lesson, was at a burning bush. In Exodus 3, God talked to him. "Don't come too close, Moses." You remember that prayerfully. Malachi said that our God, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2, our God is a purifying fire. Amen. Fire is the protection of our God for us, spiritually. For he was in a pillar of fire for Israel. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. By day the Lord went ahead of them. You remember? And leading them from slavery and taking them to the promised land. By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. Verse 23. And by night, in a pillar of fire, not only to guide them on their way, but to give them light in the night. Isn't God thoughtful? Fire is the power of God, represents the power of God. Elijah said, let the God who answers by fire be God. And in 2 Kings, chapter 18, verse 24. Fire is the very person of God. He is a consuming fire. Read in your Bible in Hebrews 12 and verse 29. The fire of the Spirit. The fire of the Spirit is to burn in the heart of each and every child of God. What we have as a result of being members of the body of Christ, we should always be excited about being the saved children of God. Amen. We have obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and living according to his principles. Yes, sir. There's something peculiar about fire. And some of you know about it if you have wood fires. Fire has a tendency to go out. Fire has a tendency to go out, and sometimes when we least expect it. Many fires, listen carefully. Where is your fire for the Lord now? You remember how it was when you first obeyed the gospel? Where is it now? Are you still excited about being a child of God? Or is your fire waning? You would come to morning worship and you'd be back for night worship and you'd be back for midweek Bible class. Excited. Fire burning because of what God has already done to you. Saved you. But now it's an up and down. No burning, no more burning brightly. Glad. And let it being manifest in your life that I'm glad to be a child of God. Your fire burning. Matthew chapter 24, and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, hello, shall iniquity abound for many, shall wax cold, shall turn cold. Had the fire, glad to be saved, excited to serve the Lord, looking forward to the times when we will come together in worship and in Bible study. And then the fire begins to wane, goes very low. What happened? Perhaps some sitting here this morning, you can remember when you had a passion for God, a passion for coming together with the servants of God and the house of God, that we might worship our God and study his word of God together. Jesus says, we are, not we are supposed to be, we should be. Jesus says, we are the what? Light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill. And what? Everybody can see you. The hill. But can they see your fire on the hill? Where's the passion? Prayerfully, you have not lost your passion for being who you are and for serving the Lord. So the question is asked in the lesson today. There's a word used called musing. M-U-S-I-N-G. Musing. While I was musing, while I was sleepy, or while I was dozing, while I was not paying attention, things happen. I was musing. Jesus says that we are to be the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are, not you're supposed to be, you are the light of the world. A city where? A city that is set on a hill, and everybody can see the top of the hill. But is the fire still burning at the top of the hill? Are you still a faithful, diligent, encouraging child of God? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, did you listen? That we literally carry the fire for this city. This is where we are. We are to literally carry the fire for this city and be an example for others who are not in this city. Leviticus chapter 6, the verses 8. God says, don't let that fire go out. We have a commandment even under the old law, what they used to do, the law that they were given and did not cost God the death of his son. The law that we follow cost God the death of his son. He wanted them under that covenant to obey his law. How much more so? How much more so under the law that was ratified, that was given to us and ratified by the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? He commanded Aaron and Aaron's sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night long upon the altar. And it was not supposed to go out. Did you hear that? Even under the old covenant, outside. That means that somebody had to be watching every hour and every minute during the night, so the fire would not go out. But I would suppose also that they would know how to bank the fire. You may not know what that's all about. Bank a fire. You know what that is? You whatever you have there for flames or wood, then you'll know how to put a little bit of ashes in there to keep it burning slowly but a long time. That didn't cost you nothing. It shall be burning till morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning all night long. And the priest, look at verse 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches. This is under the old covenant. This is what God required for being obedient to his law. Under the old covenant. Verse 11. And he shall put off his garments and put on the other garments and carry forth the ashes outside of the camp, your Bible says, without the camp, unto a clean place. They're going to mess it up. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it morning, day, offering in order upon it, and he shall burn And it shall burn, therefore, the priest shall burn, therefore, on it the fat of the peace offering. Look at verse 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. There's a lesson in that for us. We are taught, be thou what? Faithful unto death. Oh, I'm excited about coming to morning service. And then when night service come, well, you see, I got to do this thing, I got to do that thing. Your goal, my goal, is to please He who has an everlasting place. Everything else except that place where the unrighteous go, going to be burned up. It's a small thing. It's a small thing, perhaps, to us when we're feeling good, going here, there, and yon, do what we want to do. Money's coming in to disobey and to think, I don't need to do all of this. The Bible still says it is once appointed. You heard about that scripture?
Yes, sir.
It is once appointed to man to die. Well, now, if that was all, dying wouldn't be so bad. If dying was all. But what? After this, there's going to be a judgment. God said, my fire shall ever burn. I would that the fire of revival burned in the White House today. Not only that, I would that the fire of revival burned in the Congress also. But I don't control either one of those places. But I do control my heart. You control your heart. We're talking about the thing. We're not talking about the pump, blood pump. The fire for God, the passion towards God, needs to be burning in our heart and in the heart of each and every child of God. But God wants His fire to burn in all humans' heart. We can't make other people do, but there's one person in all of God's universe that can be made, that you can make, do. Wonder who that is. Oh, you're talking about my children? No. You're talking about my mate? No. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I can make me do. You can make you do. God said, my fire shall ever burn. He doesn't want us to be lackadaisical about what He has done and what He is doing for us. And the plan of salvation. You know where it was designed? Who designed it? It was the Father. The words, that some of the last words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1. Whatsoever I have commanded, we are to do the will of God. And if you don't find it there, keep looking. It's in there somewhere. The altar. Burning with passion. Burning towards God. Excited about serving God and wanting to be a child of God. How is that done? The altar must be a clean place. Every day, the altar must be clean. We must be clean or cleaned each day of all of our sin. We like to look for the big things, but what about what we call the little things? Because all sin is big in God's sight. Little things can ruin an otherwise great meal. Little things, poor example for others, that's what we might call a little thing. Not ready for good works may be called a little thing. But our God is a jealous God and a holy God. And He wants us to manifest the fact that we obey Him. Why? Because we are His children. We must be sure that our altar is what it should be. Our vessel is clean. What do you mean clean? Get rid of all of the impurities. You remember the old covenant? They had to take out the ashes. Ashes are what we do are yesterday's fire. Well, I used to do this, but I don't do it anymore. I used to. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. You used to. Now, you're doing it God's way, and He is well pleased that you finally understood what I command. Not recommend, what I command. And it will burn that fire, that flame, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His work will burn in our hearts. Let us realize what we have waiting for us when God sees fit in His all wise providence to call us out of this world. That doesn't mean that He's not going to be with us here. He's going to take care of us here. But all the joy when we hear Him say, "Well done, a good and faithful servant." The question for me, you, everyone, does the fire still burn in my heart to do the will of God, whatever it takes? Where are you this morning? Only you really know where you are. In favor with God. Almost in favor with God. Looking forward to become in favor with God. Don't wait too late. You don't know when you might leave this world. Don't have God waiting. The Lord sent His Son into the world. When you read Acts chapter 1, Jesus told His apostles to go to a certain place. He had trained them for 3 years. But He was leaving and He told them, don't go preaching. Go to Jerusalem and wait until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth and bring everything that I've told you to your remembrance. They followed His instructions. 10 days after He left, God sent the Holy Spirit. They began to preach the Word of God in the city of Jerusalem for the first time on planet Earth. One gospel. We only have one Savior, one gospel. And the one man that taught them the gospel was Jesus Christ. The Father sent the Holy Spirit to indwell their hearts to bring everything to their remembrance. One gospel. Are you a member? When you read chapter 2, are you a member of the Lord's church? He says, I'm a member of a church. No. That's not my question. Are you a member of the Lord's church? Because the apostles, 12 apostles, were baptized with the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. They began to preach the same gospel everywhere they went. And when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the books in the New Testament, they established the same church wherever they went because they taught the same gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, the one Holy Spirit. There's no church here, a church there, here, church there, church. No. Not with God. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That's in your Bible. They preached on the Bay of Pentecost. You know the story if you read the book of Acts chapter 2. Thousands of people, Jews, heard the message. Many of them interrupted Peter's sermon to ask him a question. They wanted to know what they needed to do. They realized that they had done some sin. He told them to repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this wicked generation or untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, the folk that got angry, we don't know. Only the people the Bible speaks about, only the people that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Where are you tonight, or this morning? Are you a child of God? The one church. That's in your Bible in Acts chapter 2. The one church that that was established on planet Earth, that Jesus died for, was the church of Christ. His church. Where are you? Are you in his church? The one that you can read about in his Bible? Because you want to go to his heaven. Amen. You want to go to his heaven. And you will not be in his heaven, I don't believe, talking about how hard I worked in this church, that church, and it wasn't the church of Christ. Come to Jesus. You've heard the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Be godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Acknowledge him as Lord and Savior and be buried in water baptism. Don't worry about the water. We have the water. Don't worry about the garment. We have a garment for you. Don't worry about the baptizer. We have a baptizer to do the baptizing. We have all of that in place. The only thing we don't have is you that we know about. Make your decision. If you're in the body of Christ and you have not been dutiful and faithful in his kingdom, renew your covenant. Well, you say, I'm thinking about it. How do you know you're going to live long enough to do the kind of thinking that you think you're doing, the kind of thinking that you want to think? I wanted to try to put the word thoughts in there, but I couldn't find a way to put the word thoughts in there. Listen, a car is running down the street. And you're getting ready to cross the street. And it's coming pretty fast. You say, well, I think I can make it cross before it gets here. That's foolish. Stay in safety. You're here today. Get right with God. You don't know when he's going to call you. Those students that went to school, high school in Petersburg, Florida. I think it was St. Petersburg or Florida. Somewhere in Florida. They didn't know that that would be their last day on planet Earth. We don't know when the last day is going to be, usually. Leaving this world, going into the world of eternity. Make your calling and election sure. The Bible says when you hear his word, obey his word. Don't wager. Well, I think, no. That's like waging. Come to Jesus. But that's your choice. That's your choice. If you want to take a chance on going to to the devil's place? I had to find another word, for that place. Don't do that. Make your calling and election sure. That's what God's word says. We're going to be standing and we're going to be standing and sing a song of encouragement. And as we together stand, you come. Come
and from get right below with God. Some way of
we don't know what tomorrow holds.
Hide you in the blood of Jesus.